And welcome back to Coast to Coast. This is the hour. We'll take your phone calls. How'd you do on your tax filing today? Or if you want to share some of your horror stories with us or just questions with Bill Spillane about the fair tax, check in with us next on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Bill Spillane with us this hour as we talk about the fair tax and your income tax and your filing and everything else. Boy, people do rush, don't they, when it comes to this day, Bill?
Yes, indeed.
So what do you think of some of these people who are experts on the tax code, no doubt about it, but they have refused to file income tax and off to jail they go?
Well, I think it's very, very sad. In fact, I have a friend to whom that happened, and he was a man with military service and dedicated to his country and so forth. And he just got imbued with this idea that they can get away with that, but they can't. And it's very sad. I wish they would just work harder for reform. Now, some of those folks are fair taxers, and they just got in the way of that thing, and it's just very sad.
The tax code has been used since its inception to nail criminals and other people that they couldn't get from the actual crimes they were committing, so they had to go after them with the income tax.
Well, that's pretty feeble, because you have to nail the American citizen, too, who's a God-loving and law-abiding and all that, because there have been presidents in the past, we know, and maybe this one with intimidation through the tax code and through the IRS. We know about that. It's in the news. And it's just a very sad thing that they have that weapon that they can employ. So the best thing is no April 15th anymore by the fair tax. No more record keeping, none of that stuff. It's out the window. You just go pay the tax at your cash register or go up in the tree and don't pay any taxes at all. It's up to you.
What happens to the employees of the IRS?
Well, they just go across the street to Homeland Security or to the Environmental Protection Service or someplace else, because there's a lot of talent there, and it's being wasted, unfortunately, in a non-productive activity, just pushing paper around and chasing people to have them pay their taxes. It's very sad, really, and frankly, I have friends who are in the tax preparation business, and they're scared that the fair tax will pass, and the fact is, all they have to do is change their style a little bit and help all the people. We're going to be creating jobs like gangbusters when the fair tax is enacted. We're going to be bringing in capital from abroad and from all over the United States. People will be investing in the United States. People will see opportunities to be entrepreneurs that will be starting businesses. And all these people that know about taxes can be the accountants for these folks and show them how to stay out of trouble, audit their books, and all that sort of stuff. There's plenty of work to go around.
I was going to say companies like TurboTax, H&R Block, what happens to them with a fair tax enacted?
They'll find something else to do. That's the way it goes. We don't have buggy whip manufacturers anymore either. We could keep the buggy whip if you want. There's no need for them. So you do something else. Look at the computer. John Stossel on TV the other night talked about all the things that have been displaced by your cell phone. Paper and on, the computer, and he went on for about 10 minutes.
Newspapers, everything. Place, you know what?
Yeah. Okay. So that we do the same thing with, we move on. You had a guest on earlier who said the U.S. Air Force is going to be replacing pilots with robots or something like that, transmitted from the ground, and that's life. Things change. So we adapt. Let's try to get ahead of it, and let's try to get the jobs back into the United States by using the fair tax.
Let's go to the phones now. Let's go to Harry in Port Huron, Michigan. Hey, Harry, thanks for calling, sir.
Well, my pleasure, and thank you for doing this, George, on an annual basis. And, Bill, I've been involved in the movement for 26 years and just proud of you that you're out here. And my question for you is this. Are there any presidential candidates right now at the moment who are pro-fair tax, or are any coming around that you know?
Well, only Ted Cruz, who's a co-sponsor. But as I indicated earlier to George, he's talking like he's a flat taxer, which means keeping the corporate income tax and no border adjustment. Border adjustment is a big deal. We're the only country in the OECD, about 35 countries of industrialized nations in the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development, to have an income tax. and not have a sales tax on top of it. So all those other countries have border adjustable taxes. In other words, if you make something in France, it's got a big sales tax on it, and they ship it to the United States, at the border, they take off the sales tax, and it comes over here tax-free. And then it sells in the United States for less than we can do the same thing in the United States, so that we buy the French junk. So we can't do that because we're the only income tax-only country. We embed the taxes into our products through corporate taxes and other things. And then we get to the border, and the tax stays with the product that we're selling or the service that we're selling abroad. And it doesn't compete over there because they can do it without those taxes. So, yeah, we're in big trouble because of that. And Cruz is, or anybody who's talking about flat tax, doesn't have a border adjustable function, and that's true for the Rubio Lee proposal also. That's suicide. That's ridiculous. Way to ship more jobs overseas.
Harry, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Next up, we go to Annie in Alabama. Welcome to the show, Annie.
Thank you, George. Hi. Tell me something, Bill, true or false, about the fair tax. That with the fair tax, people with little or no income who now are below the filing threshold, thus not required to pay any federal income tax now, will then be required to pay the tax at the same rate as the rich people in the top bracket. Is that true or false?
Well, I'll have to tell you what the facts are. You can't answer it true or false. What the facts are is they'll get the rebate. And people below the poverty level will actually have a windfall. They'll be getting more money from the government then they'll be paying in sales taxes if they're actually low income, or they're going to be spending at a low income level. So they're better off than they are today.
And if they decide they don't want to buy the goods and services, do they still get the prebate?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Everybody gets the prebate if you apply for it. If you're a legal resident of the United States, you don't have to be a citizen, but a legal resident of the United States, you apply for the prebate, you get it.
I mean, anybody, or do you have to be qualified under a certain income threshold?
No, income has nothing to do with income. You just keep reading, and you apply for it, you'll get it. Now, some people will say, well, wait a minute, that's welfare. No, it isn't welfare. It's a return of your taxes that we anticipate.
Well, no, but here's my question, though. A guy who's making $100,000, can he apply for a prebate?
Yes. A guy making $10 million could apply for the prebate. It won't make much difference in his life. He'll still be paying about 23% effective tax rate if he spends his money, but he can apply for it. Everybody can.
Here's the thing, though. The guy who makes $12,000 a year,
right,
is he going to get the same prebate as the guy who makes $75,000 a year?
Yes.
Same thing.
So it's not a function of your income. It's just a function of the fact you're breeding and you're a legal resident and you apply for it. And you're legal and so forth, you'll get it. So everybody gets it. But as a result of the prebate, the so-called flat rate that we have, the constant 23% rate of the cash register, results in, if you look at a piece of letter-grade paper or something of that sort, a rectangle, put your pencil in the lower left corner and draw it up towards the upper right corner, that's going to be the effective tax rate, a sloping curve from lower left to upper right, because of the prebate, your spending affects your effective tax rate. So it goes from minus effective tax rate up to 23%. And people at the median income level, which is about $50,000 in the United States right now, believe it or not, is a 9% effective tax rate. Even though he's paying 23% at the cash register, he's getting a prebate based on his family size and so forth, and his effective tax rate is going to be 9%. So fair taxes shouldn't be talking about that 23. That's just a detail in the machinery. The effective tax rates are what really matter, and they're damn low.
Yeah, no, I see that. I'm just wondering why we even need to give somebody who's making $100,000-plus a part of the prebate.
Because if we didn't do that, George, it's an excellent question. If we didn't do that, we'd have to have an IRS to figure out who's who, right? We want to get rid of the IRS.
So you're merely saying if you're a citizen and you file for the prebate, you'll get it.
Well, citizen and a legal resident. You don't have to be a citizen, just a legal resident.
Okay.
Show them you're breathing and you're legal here, and you get the prebate.
Let's go to Teresa now in Washington, D.C. Hey, Teresa, thank you.
Hey, George. I just love what you're doing, but I have to disagree some with Bill here. I'm a single mom. I am on welfare. My husband divorced me when I got sick. I have a brain tumor. I'm unable to work. I live off of child support. It's not taxed.
Right.
What Bill is talking about here would be a 25% increase in expenses that I can't avoid. Groceries, food, medicine, basic things. And for someone like me, that's a lot. And his $4,000 prebate isn't going to be enough to make up for the 25% increase in spending that's going to be for me. For the little guy or the little girl in this situation, this would knock me down even further. I mean, this is reminiscent of the Reagan trickle down economics, and it to me, it sounds like corporate welfare. We're just going to let, you know, the big guys get off. They don't have to pay nothing. And what's going to happen is corporations are going to, if they do make more money, they're not going to pass that down. We've seen that before. They're going to increase the salaries for the guys at the top while the people at the bottom just keep getting poorer. We went through this with the Reagan in the 80s. I don't see this working.
Bill, go ahead.
Well, first of all, you have to understand that prices will go down of U.S.-made goods and services. That means the food that you're going to buy. So prices are not going to go up because there's a tax on the goods and services. In other words, if you are in business and you make product A, let's say, you have employees, payroll taxes, you have corporate taxes and so forth, and you have all kinds of expenses to fill out your own tax forms and so forth. It's up to $500 billion to $1 trillion in embedded taxes in all American, not foreign, but all American goods and services. So the prices will come down as a result of all of those costs being stripped out. Then when we add the fair tax on top of it, 23%, not 25, 23%, prices will only change slightly. And then you'll have the prebate to lower your costs as well. And so anybody at the poverty level or below pays nothing. In fact, they get a windfall, net windfall with the fair tax. And as I say, even if you're up to $50,000, your rate is 9%. So you just have to do the numbers. So what you're missing are a couple of things. But I'm glad you brought up the idea of corporations keeping the money. I want to talk about that. But to finish up on the with your costs going up, you have to take into account that the prices will of the goods and services in the United States will come down dramatically, probably 15-20%, depends on what we're talking about. And then when you add the tax on top of it, prices won't change very much. They might go up in some things 5-10%, but some things they'll come down. So on average, it's almost a wash. And then you throw in the prebate, and you're ahead. Believe me, the low-income people are ahead on this deal, way ahead. And as far as the rich corporations keeping the money, let's talk about that for just a second. We have a storybook lesson going on outside our doors on our streets right now about this subject, and it happens to be gasoline prices. Gasoline prices have gone way up. They've gone way down, and then they've gone back up a little bit, and then they're coming down. What the hell's going on? The price of crude oil is fluctuating for lots of reasons, fracking and the Saudis and on. We can talk about why crude oil prices. It's the raw material in gasoline, of course. And when those prices go up and they go down, the gasoline prices follow. Maybe not directly in lockstep, but they go. When prices, crude oil prices go up, gasoline prices go up. When crude oil prices come down, gasoline prices come down. What the hell's going on? If rich corporations, when their costs went down, such as in oil, crude oil, it's gone down to less than half of what they were paying last year. It was over $100. Now it got below 50. Now it's about $55. Their prices came down halfway. Why didn't they just keep the gasoline prices up? Oh, if they were rich and they were mean, they would keep the prices up, wouldn't they? But the prices came down. Why? Competition is the answer. Competition. The gas station on the corner lowers its price 0.25%, And the gas station on your side of the street, he's got to do the same thing. Otherwise, he goes out of business. All the gasoline will be sold by the guy who's lower priced. So they chase each other up and down the price ladder because of competition. Now, if you've got monopolies, that sort of thing doesn't happen. But with monopolies gone, as we have in the oil business right now, in the gasoline business, prices will follow depending upon the cost below. So crude oil prices go down, gasoline prices come down. And the same thing will happen with the fare tax. As long as there's more than one supermarket within a few miles of your place, they're going to chase each other up and down with the prices. The rich people aren't going to keep it. They can't afford it.
Is there any way, Bill, we can test this for a year or two before we implement it permanently?
Well, it's
or is that a mess?
Taxes in California and all the other places that only have sales taxes. It's going on today.
So we could use these state models as an example.
Exactly. And it works. Works good, just like the price of gasoline up and down with the underlying cost of the raw materials.
Let's go to Andrew, Austin, Texas, first-time caller. Hello, Andrew. Go ahead.
Yeah, I support the fare tax plan. I bought Neil Bortz's book several years ago, and I found that to be very interesting. I do have some skepticism about it, and it would be unforeseen market forces and government officials' inability to appropriate funds aligned with consumer behavior. In other words, I look at the park in my neighborhood. The swimming pool needs maintenance. The statue in the park, you know, needs to go up. There's all sorts of programs I see in my neighborhood, so therefore I need to go to the nearest big box store and buy some computer accessories, some auto parts, and some clothing so that all the, you know, my tax needs will be met. Now, I don't think that's going to affect me individually. I don't think I'm that dependent on government. But I can see that the collective forces at play there might cause some chaos. And I think George's idea about testing it for a year or two is probably very practical. Do you understand where we might run into trouble there, or, you know, how big the trouble is not really foreseen?
Well, let's put it this way. We went to Alan Greenspan when he was the chairman of the Fed and said to Mr. Greenspan, what do you think? And he said, I like it. Do it. And we said, well, how much of a transition would we need? He said, you don't need a transition. You do it overnight, and all I need is 6 months to tell everybody about it. You just give me a notice of 6 months, and it'll be perfect.
That's all. Bill, we're going to come back and take final calls with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, Beyond Belief is our television program. It is one of the world's fastest-growing streaming television shows. It's amazing. Even companies like HBO are getting involved in streaming as well. And Beyond Belief is available to you. And there's a great promotion out right now, so take advantage of it. Go to this website, beyondbelief.com. Look at all the programs we've been doing, and then stick with us, beyondbelief.com. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie, back with our final segment with Bill Spillane as we talk about the fare tax. And this is the year, of course, that it's time to get something done. It's time to move this country ahead, Bill, with not only a fare tax, but everything else we do. I mean, the wars we've been involved in, and it just seems like the American people are getting the shaft on everything. Do you feel that way?
Yes, sir. You nailed it. Yes, sir. We need a strong leader and a Congress that responds to what the people really want and not just who their sugar daddies are. So we absolutely need a good leader, and the people can choose that person if the media gets out of the way, which they won't. So we have to point out that the media just lies like crazy. And that's not a way to pick a good leader, but that's what we have to fight our way through that.
I think this could get done. I think more so now than even a couple of years ago.
I agree with you. Absolutely. Now, we have lessons all around us. As I say, Phil Hinson sent me an article, the corporate income tax, and it breaks my heart that young lady said it's the rich old big guys, and they're going to get windfalls, and they won't pay any taxes and all that kind of stuff. When you shoot yourself in the foot, you got to figure out that that hurts, and there's got to be a better way to do it. And corporations don't pay taxes. If you want to nail the big guy, that's not the way to do it. So, for example, the Obama architect, Jonathan Gruber, is now famous for saying that Obamacare would never have passed were it not for the stupidity of the American voters. He said that supporters of the bill could not admit the bill taxed medical insurance premiums because taxpayers would have understood that would lead to higher cost medical insurance. Similarly, supporters could not say they were increasing taxes on prescription drugs and medical devices. Voters would not support the idea of increasing the cost of something they already thought was too expensive. So Obamacare supporters said they were taxing insurance companies, drug companies, and medical device manufacturers. Gruber publicly stated the obvious. Politicians find it easier to convince along with the tax when voters believe they personally won't be the taxpayers. So it's the same thing with corporate taxes. If you want to nail that big rich guy and raise the corporate tax, you're killing yourself and you're shipping jobs overseas. That's
Bill,
not smart.
Because everything is computerized. Can we have some products that are exempt from the 23% tax, like baby food and diapers and, you know, medicines and some things like that?
Goods and services are not taxed, and you'll have to have a retail sales permit to do that, so forth, and so there's no scam artists going on. But no, everything is for personal consumption is under the tax. Now, if we start fooling around with baby food or whatever else you want, then that's when we get into the congressman trading favors back and forth, and we're back to where we are now. You just can't do that. You got to stick to the rules. If it's personal consumption, it pays the tax. And their personal effects, or their low-income people are paid for by the prebate. They're taken care of that way. Simple.
All right. Let us go to the phones. Let's go to who's up next. It's Ryan in Montreal in Canada. Hello, Ryan. You're up with us.
Yeah, I just wanted to know, like, we have a 15% sales tax here, and the underground economy is a huge problem. Rather than pay the tax, people buy and sell under the table to avoid the tax. And it seems to me that by increasing the sales tax to eliminate income tax and bring it up to 24 or 23%, whatever it would be, would make the underground economy even bigger. And it's almost impossible to police, because what do you do to people for not paying a sales tax? And I don't know, how would you deal with that? How would you deal with the growing underground economy that would come from increasing sales taxes?
Well, the tax is collected by the states. Now, if the state doesn't want to do it, they can opt out and they can let the feds or a neighboring state collect the tax. We'll go from 140 million taxpayers today to down to 20 million businesses that would be paying taxes. Much, much easier to police. And then, two, of course, there's an incentive to always cheat on these kinds of things. It'll be so much easier to find people that are cheating. Now, I don't know what the circumstances in Canada are, but this one's going to be easy to police relative to what's going on now. If you think we don't have tax cheating going on now, even Ms. Olson, the ombudsman for the IRS, says that there's a difference between what's owed and what's paid in every family, to the tune of we're all paying, each one of our families is paying over $3,000 a year because some people aren't paying their taxes. $3,000 a year per family. Holy Moses. Let alone, as George pointed out, the underground economy with drugs and so forth, they're not paying any taxes at all. So this one is going to be a whole lot easier to police than the present income tax. And as George pointed out, people are scamming the IRS but with the phony identities and getting tax rebates from people that they don't even know. So this one is much better. There's always going to be cheating. This one's easier to catch.
Okay, next up, Greg, truck driving in Indiana. Thanks for calling, Greg. You're on the air with us.
Hey, George. Hey, Bill. I really I love hearing Bill on the radio because his logic is very sound. The way he directly answers every question posed to him, you know, he's very impressive. And I agree with you in theory. I think that's the best way to go about this in theory. But here's the problem I have. If you can answer this, you'll have me on board. we have, I think it's the 16th Amendment, which allows for an income tax. Now, if we don't repeal the 16th Amendment, and the way I understand it, it's pretty hard to repeal an amendment, what would stop future Congresses and presidents from saying, you know, this isn't working, and implementing a sales tax? They'll start it just the way they did in 1913. They'll say, well, it's just 1% for the people making over $200,000 a year. Before you know it, we'll be paying a sales tax and an income tax.
Well, that's an excellent question, and I thank you for bringing it up, truthfully. Because, as you indicated, and correctly, the 16th Amendment does not require an income tax. It allows an income tax. So the fair tax eliminates the IRS and the whole income tax code. It's gone. The whole IRS, the whole income tax is gone, and replaces it with the fair tax. Now, the 16th Amendment still survives, so they could come back, theoretically, and put on an income tax. Well, since the mechanism and the income tax is completely gone, they have to start from scratch. Not likely, and especially when people see more money in their pocket and jobs come pouring in, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. That's right. So that excuse came up so much, mostly by congressmen who really didn't want to change because they liked the lobbyists paying them off for fixing this and fixing that and the whole thing, that original sponsor, John Linder of Georgia, said, okay, you guys, we'll put a fuse on the fair tax. If we don't eliminate the 16th Amendment, in 7 years, the fair tax is eliminated. It's gone. It's over. So start the income tax again, but not both. So when we pass and enact the fair tax, the income tax goes away completely, including the IRS, okay? So if they want to play games after everybody sees how good the fair tax is and try to bring an income tax back, they're going to get a lot of static from a lot of people and from a lot of directions. And then if we can't eliminate the 16th Amendment by 7 years, then the fair tax goes away. That's fair enough.
Okay, let's go to Bob, Morgantown, West Virginia. Thanks for calling, Bob. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, George. Just curious, how does people like Al Sharpton get away with not paying like $5 million in past taxes? I can take my answer off the air.
Well, it was one of the things with the IRS. I mean, you go to jail for one, not filing, and you also for fraud. If you don't pay the tax, the legitimate tax, you're not going to go to jail for that. They're going to fine you. They're going to issue levies against you, liens against your house. I think in Sharpton's case, these were corporate taxes, and they just sit out there. They may be liens, Bill, against any corporate assets he may have, but the assets are probably negligible, aren't they?
Well, it's just bad tax administration as far as I'm concerned. If you truthfully owe a tax and you can't, they can't collect it, or they refuse to collect it, then go after him. Put liens on him and take away his property, whatever else he has. That's all I know.
Michelle Stern in the state of Washington. Go ahead, Michelle. You're up with us. I got to push the button.
I love your guest tonight. He's amazing, and he's so true. And as far as the healthcare industry is concerned, he's spot on. I work for a large health insurance company, and over the past couple of years since Obamacare, you know, has been integrated into our system, our company, the company I work for, has laid off at least 500 employees, and half of which they've outsourced to India to save money. And every quarter, there are more and more layoffs. And we're now to the point where we're consolidating and kind of regrouping in order to make more profits. However, we're employing less and less American workers, and we're employing more and more overseas outsourced workers in India. So basically, all of our healthcare information is going over to India in order to save profits for my insurance company that I work for.
Although you're right. I mean, if you've ever called your credit card company to ask them about a charge, you get somebody with such a broken foreign accent, Bill, you know that call's being rerouted way overseas.
Yes, and when that does happen, you could just ask for a U.S. advisor. That's all I can tell you about that. But that, we're dumping jobs overseas, whether it's a tax inversion or whatever else it happens to be, like gangbusters. And why would you want to incorporate in the United States if you could save a whole lot of money by incorporating elsewhere and selling into the United States? We're just big suckers.
Hey, Bill, we've got your website linked up at coasttocoastam.com, but would you give it out to people who are just driving around somewhere?
Sure. It's fairtax.org, F-A-I-R-T-A-X.org. You can put the WW in front or not. It'll connect anyhow. And if you want to find out where your congressman is, call the switchboard, 202-224-3121. That's the Washington, D.C. Congress switchboard, 202-224-3121. Give me your zip code. That'll tell you who your congressman is. Call the office and tell them you need to have the fair tax.
Let's take some final calls now. Jim in South Carolina. Go ahead, Jim. Thank you.
You guys are doing a great job explaining this. I'd like to add to it. Check my math behind me, of course. Anyone spending or making $17,300 a year or less would basically just use up the prebate of $4,000. And currently, anyone who spends $17,300 with a 6% sales tax, their out-of-pocket is actually $18,300. So if with this tax, you would have less money out of pocket up to $17,000 and some odd dollars.
Exactly. Well put.
So anyone who makes less than $17,000, obviously they're not going to spend more than $17,000. They would actually end up with money in their pockets.
Exactly.
Bill, what would you do about the Internet, like Amazon.com and those huge monsters that sell products and goods? Bill, you with us?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah. What would you do with Amazon.com and companies like that?
Well, you mean selling outside various jurisdictions and not charging the sales tax?
Yes, yes.
Well, the states will probably go along with this. We're not mandating any states change anything, but they'll probably just pay back on the fair tax. It'd make it a lot easier. The fair tax will pay them a quarter of 1% of the taxes that they collect. So that covers the state's problems. They're not getting that now. And the states will probably all be on a sales tax of some sort before you know it. And it shouldn't be a problem in the future.
Let's go to Santa Monica, California, west of the Rockies. Hi, Jenny. Go ahead.
Hi. I wanted to answer to the woman who called in about welfare and child support.
Sure.
It seems to me that welfare and child support and things like those are not directly market force driven. They're artificially determined by the welfare systems and the courts based on the cost of living. So even if the cost of living were to go up for, you know, the poor, wouldn't welfare or these court ordered payments just be adjusted?
Yes, I think so. That's a good point. The fair tax is about how much you earn and how much you spend, and there's no tax on any income that you have. Just forget about any tax on any money that comes into your possession. It's over. It's only what you spend. And again, costs will go down and prices will go down commensurately when the costs come out of the business's problems or the way they. So and then the tax is added on, and with the prebate, you're ahead. You're way ahead. People are going to have more money in their pockets.
Ron is in Fort Myers, Florida. Now it's your turn. Ron, go ahead.
Yeah, it's Rod, R-O-D, Rod. Yeah, I wanted to point out that the prebate, the idea is this check that you get at the beginning of the month is to pay the tax.
That's right.
Yes, both of money.
Well, we lost you there, Rod. But kid, the prebate that you get, the amount of, how does that come? In that you said it's going to be direct wired.
Well, it can be direct wired. It can be a check. It can be a smart card. There's half a dozen ways that you can choose to take it. It's up to you.
Let's go to Ron in Seattle, Washington. Go ahead, Ron.
I've been trying to get down to you guys for 4 years now.
Wow. All right. I'm glad you did.
long story short, I think this is more of a regressive on the middle class. It's corporate welfare, and it'll only operate in a cashless society. My suggestion would be is do a tariffs and duties in conjunction with the fair tax and eliminate AID as corporate welfare.
What do you think of that, Bill?
Well, I'm not sure I got all of that, but people just can't get over the idea, apparently, that a corporation actually passes on its taxes to somebody else. It passes them to the customer in higher prices, or to the employees in lower wages, or if it goes to the actual owners, they get a lower dividend check. Now they're paying twice because they'll pay income taxes on the dividends, and then they'll pay they'll pay the corporate tax that lowers their dividends, and then they'll pay on the personal level. So they're paying twice, and then they're looking for somewhere else to go with the business. That's no fun. The fair tax will bring business in. Everyone will be more prosperous. John Linder and I both independently, when he was the original co-sponsor, he's now retired, replaced by Woodall, who is Georgia 7, and he's now the co-sponsor, the original sponsor in on the bill. But Linder and I both independently arrived at what is the problem with a fair tax. And believe me, I gave it a lot of thought. I've been at this for a long time. What's the problem with a fair tax? And I'll tell you what the problem is, and it's a really good problem. We will be short of labor. There will be so much investment in the United States, very much like the Irish miracle, where all the investment came pouring in because they lowered their corporate tax rate to 11%. We will have a need for so many new employees for all the businesses that come flooding in here and businesses that are here that expand. We're going to be short of smart people. So the education challenge is going to be there. We're going to have to import smart people from around the world to run our businesses and operate in our businesses. That's a good plan. That's a good problem.
Let's keep in touch, Mr. Spillane. Good luck, and talk to you next tax season, okay?
You're great, George. God bless you.
We're talking about the fair tax. Up next, Chris Impey joins me as we talk about survival of the planet with space exploration.